Well, hi everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. Welcome to a nice show today on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. I've got Maria Armstrong here, who is the executive director of one of our favorite associations out there, ALAS, the Association of Latino Administrators and Superintendents, and there's some big doings for that group, and we'll talk about that with the new administration coming in. We're very excited and so pleased and so happy. So we're going to talk all about what the things ALAS has planned for this coming year, and of course with Dr. Miguel Cardona becoming Secretary of Education, it's going to be a great year, okay? What can I say? So give a listen, stay tuned, just let me do a little bit of homework. We're archiving all the shows over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. You're invited to join at no charge. Please do so. Read our magazine over there, the online journal Equity and Access. ALAS contributes columns to that magazine. We're very proud of it. You'll enjoy it. Share all this with your friends over at ace-ed.org. You can follow all the icons for Twitter and Facebook are over there, but for me in particular, it's EduTalk Radio on Twitter. My name, Larry Jacobs, on LinkedIn or Facebook, and also on Facebook is Education Talk Radio, so you can friend us, follow us, link with us, etc. over there. But the key thing to remember is ace-ed.org. Hey, it's all about equity these days, and 2021 is going to be a year that we really move that forward. So please join with us over there again, Free for Educators. And now, hello, Maria. It's Larry.
Hey, Larry. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
You know, it's so good to be back on. I'm doing fabulous. And it's great to hear your voice.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm thrilled to have you here. And you know you're welcome here all the time, for goodness sakes. Great to hear yours as well. So let me ask the leading question for Latino administration and leadership in today's public schools. By the way, Betsy DeVos resigned. I'll just put this show into perspective. Yesterday, today is January 8th, and Mrs. DeVos, Secretary DeVos, resigned, okay, in lieu of everything that happened this week. Yesterday, and so I don't know who's running the education department for the next few weeks, but certainly Dr. Cardona is coming on. How do you react? What do you think of that news there, Maria?
Well, you know, in my personal opinion on that one is, Larry, they're all resigning because they know they're going to be out of a job in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
There.
Yeah,
so,
big shot.
You know, so,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not breaking news, but
it's heartbreaking news. It's heartbreaking news. The whole damn mess, you know. I can only, no offense to anybody, but I can only imagine her goodbye speech. I've done everything I can to ruin education. Now I'm going to leave. Thank you. I'm Betsy DeVos. You know. Ugh. That's all I have to say.
You don't have to agree.
We got a good one coming in.
Yeah.
Let's focus on that.
Yeah, you know, because it's really about, it's about the issues, you know, and we're so quick to, like, put it on somebody's head when we are all part of this structure, and sure, leadership obviously matters. And so, you know, we're super, super excited of Dr. Cardona's nomination.
Yeah.
And you know, him, he's an ILS member and continues to be a CALAS member, which is straight out of Connecticut. And so I've had the good fortune of being able to, you know, chat with our state affiliates. Every month we have a meeting. And, you know, it was not a big push to have to write letters of support, you know, in his favor. So we were doing all that. And the folks out in Connecticut really championed that push as well. So we're super excited about that.
You should be. He is a good guy. He's out of Meriden, Connecticut. And Meriden, Connecticut schools, just by hook and by crook, are very good friends of ours here at the show and in the magazine.
There you go.
And with the consortium, Mark Benigni is their superintendent, and he and several others within that school district I've worked with for years. By coincidence, they were on the show yesterday talking about what they've learned during the pandemic in terms of education. And,
nice.
And Dr. Cardona's kids still go to Meriden Public Schools. okay? And
yes,
Mrs.
Do.
Cardona,
yep.
Miguel's wife, okay, it works for Bernardin Public Schools, okay? And they're just so proud, okay, and
yeah.
so happy and
there.
So thrilled, yeah? And I told Mark, the superintendent, he better watch himself because now the kids can go straight to the top. Okay, in the Meriden schools,
they
around the dinner table, you know, the kids can talk to the Secretary of Education. It's that simple. So it's really cool. But he's the state superintendent in Connecticut right now. He's done a hell of a job there, and you know, I'm taking it beyond just what a good guy he is and how important that is. You know, it really is something. Okay, for a Latino, the gentleman of Latino heritage. To become our Secretary of Education, and that's important for everybody, not just for Latino people, because today's school population, and maybe you want to talk about this, I don't even know the exact percentage, but they're the growing ethnic minority, almost majority
that's
now
correct.
In this country,
yeah.
Okay, you know, your folks, and it's just so cool that finally we're coming around, and with all we've been through, okay, with this nutsy administration and Mrs. DeVos, and you don't have to say anything, I can say that, okay, and George Floyd, okay, being murdered earlier last year and all the Black Lives Matter stuff, you know, it's so good to finally see some good, if I may, come out of this, okay, and that we're finally doing the right thing. What are your thoughts on all that, you know, just about the importance of a
yeah.
Latino person, and I know You know, you are the executive director of the Association of Latino Administrators, but it's not just the fact that they're Latino. It's deeper than that. Go ahead. Speak, Maria.
Yeah. I've been having a lot of conversations with a variety of folks, you know, as of late, of course. And it always comes back around to it's about perspective. You know, it really is. Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody walks a different path, and whatever's thrown in our path or even moved out of the way for us at times, you know, it's still a different a way of getting from A to B. And so
yeah.
I think when you have an opportunity to bring in yet another lens that will not only shine a light, but be able to bring experience to the table and being able to really start getting creative about what worked, what didn't work, what can we expand upon. Those are the conversations that I'm super thrilled to start to engage in. And, you know, when we just only, you know, rely on historical or past events and tradition for tradition's sake, you know, we get caught up in what used to be rather than what could be. And
yeah,
so when,
yeah.
when you have someone like Miguel who is, he's not only, you know, grounded in his commitment to public education and being a product of public education,
right.
but creating another generation with his own family still in the same community doing what going through the system that, you know, he has helped form, create.
Yeah, he used to be
that's
a teacher
a
there,
whole
the
other,
principal.
That's a whole other level, yeah. Not
yeah, you know,
he was
the youngest principal in Meriden, by the way. He was the youngest principal ever in Meriden, Connecticut schools, just so you know that.
Yeah.
Just a little fact.
Yeah. He's, I mean, you know, it's not like he's old now. You know, he's 45, you know, so he's a young buck, and he's got the strength and stamina to go in there and get her done. And I think that he'll be able to do that. In a way that he's already proven through his track record about
yep.
being able to really, you know, when I was reading about, because I don't know him personally, but I've reached out to quite a few folks from the Connecticut ALAS, right, the ALAS, and they're the ones that have shared with me their personal stories, their professional stories, and we're talking, you know, 15, 10 years, that kind of thing. And so these are people that truly know him from sitting across the dinner table, to engaging in community events, you know, in the park, those kinds of conversations. So, you know, being able to have him being, you know, his family's parents still live there. Even though he was born and raised here in the U.S., he was still considered an English learner because, you know, his family spoke Spanish in the home. So he even has that other perspective to be able to bring to the table. And so that's why, you know, that's saying something. And I think that it's high time that we gain a variety of perspectives in the positions of leadership to empower those around who have been championing these issues for equity for our, you know, entire careers. So it's a very, very welcome opportunity that we see.
It really is. And, you know, he's a public educator. Okay, he understands public education. And I don't care if he was of Italian descent or Jewish descent or whatever descent you want to say, he'd still be a public educator. But he's a Latino. He's of Latino descent. And so he brings to the table the eyes and the experiences of someone mm-hmm. who is Latino and who has gone through American schools. Okay, and you just extrapolate that to other immigrant groups, other minorities, if I may, okay, so to speak, okay. And before you know it, you've got a gentleman who really sees the world from that perspective, and that's such an important perspective these days in this country. So we're here at the American Consortium for Equity in Education, our group, we're going to do a special thing in the issue next month, and we're just so happy about this. It's so cool. And by the way, he is a good guy. I heard that yesterday from all the folks who know him over in Meriden. They're just they just couldn't be happier. They're so proud.
They're doing cartwheels and backflips as they should be.
Unbelievable. You know, it's really cool, especially after what we've been through the last few years. But you still have to run ALAS, and there's going to be a whole big sense of pride with ALAS starting, I'll say, January 21st, all right? And, you know, when he's officially nominated and it goes through a process.
Yeah.
Okay, in Congress, and it does have to do that. Let's be fair there. Okay, Congress does matter in terms of approval of cabinet secretaries. Okay, but I have a funny feeling that's going to be a little easier this time around. Okay, so ALAS this year. Now that you've got this on the plate, okay, the pinnacle, so to speak. Okay, what's on the agenda for this year? Okay, when you look at ALAS and you talk to your state folks every month, every week, what's going on? What's the game plan for this year?
Well, you know, first of all, I'd like to think that I was a part of an organization that was full of pride anyway. But
you are.
This is the icing on the cake.
Of course, yeah. It's a pride cake. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Some frost, yeah.
Yeah, this is the sundae. You've already have the sundae. This is the cherry on top, so to speak, literally.
You know, one of the things I want to start out by saying is because it has heightened, you know, the way I like to share with folks is, you know, maybe we've just finally awakened the sleeping giant. And so with that, I've been able to share out with, and you know, I was doing this before he came in, but now people are maybe paying a little bit more attention. And there's, you know, this misnomer that people from the outside may think that you have to be a Latino to be a part of the association. And what I'm quick to point out.
Good point.
Is, you know, the leadership that we're talking about, of course, because we have members from all ethnic backgrounds. And what we're saying is, look, as leaders, you're serving our black, brown, most marginalized youth. We need to be in the same room together, listening to the very perspective.
That's right.
I mean, it's not by accident that, you know, NABSI and ALAS are joined in doing some collaborative work. That's what we have coming ahead. You know, we're venturing out and organizing a new network for our upcoming principals, aspiring principals, where we are looking at, you know, teacher leaders. And that curriculum is based on the black, brown experience and perspective that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
then who's going to learn from that? Whoever is leading or serving our children, that's who's going to learn from that. And we talked a minute ago about, you know, the percentage and that we are, yes, the majority minority. So, you know, I've had superintendents reach out from across the U.S. and say, you know, hey, do you need to be Latino to be a part of your organization? Because I've got 24% of my students who are Latino, and I want to know how to serve them better. And I said, come on up, because this is exactly what we're talking about. So we've been able to you know, and you know, Larry, you've gotten to know me just about a minute, and you know, I've said it, and I'll continue to say it. I've got no shame in my game. I will reach out to folks in a cold call, in a warm letter, in a distant email, and I'll let them know, look, we are open for business. We want to be able to share not only our stories but our strategies. You know, there are some proven strategies that we know. We need to start looking at our kids from a point of where they are, their reference point, and not one of deficit. And so that, I mean,
Thank
we're
you.
Like still the only
Thank
country
you.
On the planet that does that. Everywhere else, they're making sure kids are learning Spanish and other languages. So it's mm-hmm. like we need to step up in our leadership. And I know that this Miguel is going to hold that beacon of light for us to be able to do that far more openly. And I hope, and we will work towards where that door is open in a way that hasn't been shut down or tried to be shut down in previous, you know, administrations.
Yeah. Yeah, I love what you're saying. I have to comment on something you said. I want everybody to know Maria Armstrong, who my guest is today, is an absolute firecracker, and we've known each other for a few months, okay? And the minute you meet Maria, you fall in love, okay? That's it. I'm serious, and you just love talking to her, and you're just incredible. So I mean, you make people feel at home with you the instant you start talking, okay? And what you do and all
because,
that sort
that's
of stuff.
Because we have. That's like our core base of, you know, operandi, if you will. That's what we operate from. It's about familia. And it's, you know, and we use the term familia in the sense that you sit at the table, you have coffee with us, you break bread with us, you dance with us, whatever it is that you're doing with us, you're familia because you're at the table. And so, I mean, that's just, you know, I really, really want to emphasize that because even in family, as you know, there are bumps in the road. There are, you know, whatever disagreements.
Sure, of course.
But we agree to disagree, and then we move on because we want to focus on the issue. Because at the end of the day, we know it's going to get stronger. And as a family, that's what we want to do. Is that we want to hear those stories. We want to work through those issues, and we want to get stronger as a family.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, you said something, Maria, a few minutes ago that really struck me, and I think this is an implicit bias that's out there. And you're absolutely – I agree with you here, and when you said it, it rang home a little bit. When people – and correct me if I'm wrong here, but throughout public education, when – I'm speaking generically here. When mm-hmm. Generically, when we look at Latino students – are you finding that we see them, I'm going to use your word, as a deficit in terms of that, these people need special help because they're Latino, whatever, however you want to phrase that crazy thing.
You got
and
it.
Stereotyping yeah. that? I mean, are you finding that still out there? It's in it when you said that. It's,
yeah.
It really struck me, okay?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And yeah. we're not only finding it, it is glaring at us. And
wow.
so, and it shows,
Why?
In so many ways, you know, I think about this a lot, obviously. And I think about, particularly when, you know, we reflect, we get a minute to reflect on events. You know, you talked about the events that just happened within the past, heck, 48 hours or eight
yeah.
months.
And yeah.
and it's like, you know, there's the only way I can see it is there's a social conditioning that has taken place over the course of our entire existence here as a nation. And, you know, there's like, you talk about implicit bias. There are those who know they can get away with murder, and then there are those who know they can't. And in many
yeah.
cases, even if they didn't do it, you know, but however, conditioning is just that. It's conditioning. And we create a society, you know, if we created this kind of a society, we can create a different kind of society.
Absolutely.
It's a heavy
Absolutely.
Lift. You know, it's a heavy lift, but enough. I think we have enough capacity now that the word has grown, the light has been shown, and we just need to be vigilant about it from here on out and not use it as a catch-all, like equity is a catch-all right now. Until we start to get dig deep into what the issues of equity really mean and look like, then we can start having the conversation to correct or reconstruct or reinvent even a nation that is far more equitable than what we've seen. But it's just, you know, we're a social experiment, and we need to view it as that. You know, it took a long time. I mean, I'm talking maybe within the last 5 years is when I started hearing about, you know, even our universities don't even look at the social sciences in a way that is of importance. And so now you're starting to hear more about, you know, social emotional learning and all of that. And the thing is, if we don't invest in ourselves, we have our behaviors have phenomenal impact, not just on the social impact, but environmental and everything else that goes along. So why wouldn't we invest in our public education system where from birth to you know, pre-K to on, we are really starting to shape and form what can be, you know, kind of the thinking I that's what keeps me up at night.
it's astounding when you really look at it, and I don't know where it comes from. I mean, I guess I do know where it comes from, but it seems impossible. But you're right, this whole thing, and I you can look back into a few years. I'll go back 400 years. It's always been
a social experiment here,
you know. And for some reason, we just we got to finish the experiment, get the Bunsen burner, and finally turn it off and say, you know, the experiment's over. We've got to make this work, and I hope we do. Do you feel that the I want to ask you two questions. Do you feel that the schools, and I think you do, are getting better at recognizing the that they're getting better at recognizing the full potential, okay, of Latino students? Okay, that's A. Are they getting better? And B, what do you think the feds should do? Is it the federal role that should take place, or is it a state thing? How do we handle this? Okay, what's your take on that?
Yeah, you know, I think that to answer the first question, does public ed, you know, are they starting to recognize?
I think that
the more information, because we are a nation of information, we're in a time period of information, some to the to the exhausting point. But I think that once we sift through it, and you know, that's a whole other chapter or station that we need to talk on. When we sift through and really recognize the reliability of the sources of the information, when we get to that point and we start weeding through it, I think, and having these changes in leadership about making the issues that are related to equity top priority and not a nuance or a hot,
topic to have for the day.
Yeah.
That's why we started our consortium.
It's
enough talking already. Let's get some action.
Let's do it. Let's start making those steps forward. Exactly. I think when we start to have our leaders come to spaces that promote that kind of thinking and get away from this cancel culture, you know, that's a scary one for me. If you know, I don't fear a lot of the stuff that's going around. What I do fear is the cancel culture where folks aren't able to come together and have a dialogue on the things that I don't know. I'm having dialogue because I want to know more. I pick up a book or I read an article or I, you know, look for something. It's because I don't know. I want to know more about it. But the minute you cancel me because I misstep in what I've said or I've expressed an opinion that's the only opinion I've had based on my experience, then you just basically dismiss me because you don't want to do the work. You don't want to engage in the heavy lift with me. And so that, to me, I think is part of not only recognizing, because it's like, you know, it's like anything else. You know, if I want to lose 5 pounds, I can make myself aware of it, but I best get on that treadmill and last a little longer. You know what I mean? You gotta put some more action, like you said, behind that recognition, and we got to create those spaces for that to happen. That's one. As far as the federal, you know, input or support, I think it's a I like to look at things in cascade or waterfall motion where, you know, if you don't have something coming from the top, down below is going to be dry. So there's got to be this path that, you know, what we set up at the top, how does it impact or cascade into our local districts? Because at the end of the day, that's where the action is. That's where our kids live. That's where our communities can grow. And so if we look from a federal standpoint and we provide these, whatever the supports are, federal money, policy in particular, to help,
yeah,
you know, move the dime on some of these issues. I think about where we are right now as an organization and what we're looking to be able to put forth in policy. The monies that we talk about from the Fed, you know, historically we've had a 7% amount that goes to just for supplemental funds like learning loss and that and that. If we leave that, and even if it's $1 billion that's earmarked, what is that going to do? That doesn't equate to what we need to do. So when we talk about, you know, high numbers in dollars and people think they're so astronomical, we need to make sure that we are putting the action to the dollar and not provide this, catch all that. Okay, well, here you go. But the next thing you know, it's not impacting the issues that we're talking about that
right.
need to change when it comes from an equity standpoint. It's like anything else. You know, I remember when I worked in private industry, and we would get a bonus, you know, if products, you know, really jumped and did far better than we thought. And
of course.
So that bonus was like, you know, when you live paycheck to paycheck and then you get a bonus, what's
yeah.
the first thing
Huge.
You do? You're going to go out and buy something that you
yeah.
never thought you'd be able to buy, right? And then it becomes,
that's what I do.
Wow, that just went so quick. It's no different. A budget is a budget. And so if you don't have time to prepare and really lay out that these monies have got to do X, Y, and Z. Now, how you do it, how you execute it, that's the beauty of local control. But it still has to be tethered back to, show us the results, the outcome that we're getting as taxpayers from a federal standpoint of where that money's going. And then let's lift that percentage to really equate to the value of investment that we're trying to make in our kids.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear. And I'll tell you something else. The other thing I don't like is when you probably feel the same way. I can't believe anybody does it. The feds mandate things. Okay, and I know this is true in special education. Then they don't provide any funding. You have to do this,
yep.
this, this, and
yep.
this, but we're not going to give you the money to do it. Have fun. Okay, and that's absurd.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so it all has to be put together. Policy is one. It's great to say I'm in favor of this, but if I don't give you the leeway to do it and the method to do it, it's of no value whatsoever.
And the support.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the support. And you know, that's going to be – I know that we've had a lot of of vacancies in the Department of Ed for
sure.
for a bit, and I get sometimes, you know, I mean, we've heard both ends of the spectrum, cut from the fat, you know, cut from the top, get rid of the fat, let's go lean so we can push out more to, you know, where they need it. I get that, but there's also, like you said, when there's policy and then you want to put it into motion, you also need support. And I'm not
That's
saying
right.
fill everything. I'm saying be strategic. Be methodical. Just like what you ask of districts to do when they're doing their budget planning, we need to do the same from the top all the way through. And that's the coordination effort. That's the communication that has to go back and forth. So the districts don't feel like they're out on their own trying to reinvent the wheel from one county to the next, let alone from one state to the next. It's like bring in the people that this affects so that you can hear their perspective and provide the support that they need, not in a silo. Don't sit around the table and dream up what can be and what should be. Bring in the folks so that they can make happen what can be and should be.
Here, here. Boy, you're on fire today. This is really good. We got to go in just a couple of minutes, my dear. Are you going to write us a column for this next issue? Are you doing your homework?
Hey, you know, I tell you, I am doing my homework, and I've been able to venture out to your website, and I really
good.
Appreciate you picking up some of the, you know, the writings and whatnot that
Oh,
we've
sure.
done here out of Alas. But I'm hoping that I can share a couple of upcoming events.
Please do, write us
Can
a
I do that
column
real quick?
about how you feel about equity, and feel free to put in the upcoming events in that column. We'll publish that. That's your page.
Beautiful. I'll do that
do
because
it.
We've got
do it.
We've got some pretty amazing stuff coming up, and we're excited about it.
Well, we'll give you all the publicity on that in our magazine. Again, Equity and Access on our website, ace-ed.org, so everybody knows that. That's why I said that so quickly. But we'll do that. We, you know, you guys stand for equity. Okay, you do.
That's
okay,
right.
Okay, we're on your
That's
on
right.
your side 100%. This year is going to be a real sea change out there. Okay, it's going to
there
be just
go.
Incredible.
There you go.
In fact, it's not going to be a sea change. That's an average grade. It's going to be an A change. That was a joke. A bad one, nonetheless, but a joke, nonetheless, whatever. Okay, terrible, terrible. Okay, and the C, it's S-E-A, not the letter C, everybody. It's a stupid joke. Okay, hey, sorry, but it's degrading C and all that. So anyway, but we'd love to have you get your column done. That's your assignment for this weekend. I don't care what else you were planning.
I got my homework.
Get your column done. We need 400 words, but include in there the events,
okay?
And we'll get it in there for you, okay?
I appreciate that, Larry. And as always, te agradezco. I thank you so much for the time and the space.
Muchas gracias, señora. That was it. Was that good?
Very good. Good.
Thank you. You can thank Ms. Tesler, my 10th grade Spanish teacher, for that one. Muchas gracias.
See?
There you go. Overbrook High School, Miss Tesler. Okay? So thank you. All right, Maria, you be good. Stay safe down there, and we'll be in touch soon, okay? Get that column into us, all right?
Thank you. Take care.
You're something. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Maria Armstrong, everybody, and she is just terrific, okay? Alas, E-D-U, A-L-A-S, alasedu.org, the association of Latino administrators and superintendents, but, okay, it's not just for people of Latino descent. It's for all you educators who work as administrators or superintendents with students of Latino descent, and that is every one of you, okay? So please, okay, find out more at alasedu.org. Thank you, Maria. You're wonderful. All right, we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. Please go over there. Join with us. It's a fight about equity. We're going to make it happen this year. Thanks, everybody. Have a good weekend.